Homos, or Everyone in America, is the provocative title of a new play by Jordan Seavey, which examines the complexities of a gay relationship over 5 years against the backdrop of the gay rights movement in New York City. The Labyrinth Theater Company production, which stars Michael Urie and Robin DeJesus, is currently at the Bank Street Theater in the West Village, and its run has just been extended until December 11th. Charles Isherwood of the New York Times called it daringly frank, funny, and affecting, and I'm very pleased to welcome the playwright and his stars to our show. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having us. Hi.
Jordan, let's talk about that title. Why did you choose the word homos, which has been used as a derogatory term for gay people? Were you trying to take it back the way queer has been taken back?
A little bit. I think that it's also a little bit of an homage to Larry Kramer's book, which I hope I'm allowed to say this, but Faggots. And a little bit
it's
of...
It's not one of the seven words.
Oh, that's good. I wasn't primed on that before. And it's also a little, of course, of an homage to Angels in America a little bit with Everyone in America. But yeah, you know, there is a power to not shying away from a word that has made many of us shy away for a long time.
Is it okay for gay people to use it amongst themselves?
I think everybody has to make their own decision about that. I've used it amongst my friends, to be totally frank, as a term of affection for a long time, often without really thinking. I don't think I really thought about it until I titled the play that.
The other part of the title, Everyone in America, are you saying that everyone in America is gay?
You know, I do like people to decipher for themselves what the exact meaning of the title is. No, I think ultimately the "or everyone in America" is about how everyone, homosexuals, gay people, are just like everyone in America and are also not like everybody in America. Mm. Yeah, that would be my base interpretation.
Michael, your character is identified as the writer. As an actor, do you generally prefer the character you're playing to have a name?
You know, it's funny. I wondered when we started working on this if I would crave a name, and I never really did.
Did you just think I'll consider myself Jordan?
No. Well, that's interesting. But no, I sort of considered myself me in a different situation, or me with a different set of given circumstances. If my life had taken a different turn at a certain time, then perhaps I would have become this guy.
And Robin, your character is called the academic. What's his field of study?
Media studies.
And how did he and the writer meet?
We meet via Friendster.
Friendster. Now that nobody uses Friendster anymore.
At the time where the play takes place, Friendster was kind of coming out, and we sort of met through that and went on our first date. But it's funny when you said about the character and not having a name, because we made many jokes about the fact that we weren't good enough to have names during rehearsals. We can't even have a freaking name. And it's funny, though. I'm so glad you said that it felt like it was a part of you, because I kind of approached the academic also as what would Robin do within the circumstances.
The writer lives in Williamsburg. Where does the academic live?
Park Slope.
So they're two Brooklynites. Is there a specifically Brooklyn gay scene that's different from the East or West Village or Chelsea?
Yeah, and it's different from Williamsburg to Park Slope.
Yes.
Even.
I live in Brooklyn, and there's a whole... there's barely a scene where I am, but in Bed-Stuy-Clinton Hill area. But I know Williamsburg definitely has its own thing.
And these two characters spend a lot of time working out the rules of their relationship and what they should be. Has that been harder for gay men than for straight couples who could always opt for a traditional marriage, which came with a particular set of expectations?
Mm, that's a really, really interesting. We talked about this a lot in rehearsals. I think that is a kind of at the heart of the play, is that we're making our own rules. We're making our own traditions and creating our own set of guidelines with which to make a relationship or sustain a relationship, and that it doesn't have to be the same way a straight couple would. And the two characters, you know, the play chronicles a time when marriage equality was being fought for, and they differ about how they feel about marriage equality. My character doesn't think we should go the direction of straight people or the traditional marriage, whereas the academic wants...
Well, wants to fit into that world of the traditional marriage. And
well, has that changed now with marriage equality, same-sex marriage?
I think people are discovering it. I think what's really fascinating is everyone feel, you know, you brought up the question of is there an advantage or a disadvantage for gay culture with marriage equality, but it's in the eye of the beholder, because you either look at it as like, oh, now we have to go be this thing, or we get to create our own version of this thing. It's really all about your perspective, because I know for me, I look at relationships and I don't really know of any relationship that I think, oh, that's successful. That's like, I'm going to put them on a pedestal. And so I think the route of empowerment is to go, oh, well, I'm not going to copy anyone else. I'm just going to figure out what I like and stick to that.
We've seen this with divorces, especially with lesbian couples when there were children involved, but also gay couples with children. Suddenly, the issues become even more complicated than they are with heterosexual couples. Do gay couples always have to be aware of how the people around them see them?
Well,
I don't know that they have to.
But I get that sense from this play that that's something you were thinking about.
I worry about my safety.
Well, certainly no.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely find myself in places going, if something goes wrong, what's my plan? What's my escape route? Should anything go? And I've thought about it in our play.
Well, because there is a violent act involved in this.
Yeah.
Correct.
There is.
Do you mean you've thought about it in our play during the play?
Oh, yeah.
That's
what
funny.
Would Robin do?
I have too. You catch someone out of the corner of your eye in the audience and you think, what if that person's
carrying something?
What's happening?
Yeah. But I will say, I've felt that way for years, actually. It started maybe 5 or so years ago, where I just started thinking, oh, I should be a little smarter. I'm a really small guy who has no experience in any sort of self-defense. So I could bite a knee like a chicken wing, but that'll take a while.
Stage combat. What about stage combat?
Watch out for Robin DeJesus. He's one of our guests here, along with Michael Urie, two of the stars of a new play by our third guest, Jordan Seavey, the play Homos or Everyone in America, which is at the Bank Street Theater. And its run has just been extended to December 11th. In a production that is kind of unorthodox, the whole the setting is kind of I don't know if I've ever seen a play like this. You want to talk about how you came up with this, and did you have to take a lot of the seats out of the theater to work this thing out?
That's a great question. You know, the theater itself is a somewhat flexible black box space, but it's not usually used like this. It's usually, there are these four quite annoying pillars in the middle of the room that you kind of have to work around, and often almost like a mini proscenium is made between two of the pillars, so it's used in a slightly more traditional way, and we have a genius set designer and a genius director. The set designer is named Dane Laffrey, and the director is Mike Donahue, and the three of us in conversation and collaboration kind of devised a box within the black box, built on an angle off of the four pillars, so that there was no hiding them. And in fact, it was kind of embracing them and forcing them more into the middle of the space.
The
action takes place on a narrow pathway down the center of the theater, with the audience seated on risers on either side. And at times the actors are only inches from the audience members. You said, Robin, that you hated it.
We hated it. The rehearsal process was like, well, you are so vulnerable in that space. And it's not just us as performers. The audience feels vulnerable too. Yeah. The subject matter is vulnerable. The last couple of weeks, America's felt very vulnerable. So there's a lot of sensitivity happening. But in rehearsals, it was difficult because we were just discovering what the movement of the piece was and the blocking and then catering toward, you know, these columns and where's the best place for you to be and where do you sacrifice being seen and not being seen. And then if an audience member can't see you, how will they hear you well?
And Michael, there's nowhere to hide either for the actors or the audience.
No, there's no turning upstage to cough or sneeze because they're they're everywhere. They're quite literally in every direction. And sometimes you're sitting, sometimes you run into them. Sometimes you'll sit down and bump one of them.
But do you like that as an actor?
It's because cool. I like it.
It really puts you in contact with the audience in a way that you can't on a proscenium stage.
That's right. And there is
no fourth wall here.
There's no fourth wall.
It's thrilling.
And you're not. You can't lie. I mean, in a proscenium, when you're 30 feet away from the nearest audience member, or 10 feet or whatever, you can still kind of fake it, and they'll be able to follow it. But in this space, you cannot tell a lie. It's almost like acting on film, where the camera can pick up everything. These people can pick up everything. Your body language. They can smell you. I mean, we can smell them.
Jordan, references are made to playwrights like Larry Kramer and earlier gay-themed plays like The Boys in the Band. Do you see this play as being part of a tradition?
I see it as kind of the graduate of that tradition. I've learned a lot from so many writers, those being two of them, and I feel like I'm kind of picking up from my experience where they...
Well, so many of those earlier plays were about whether to come out or live in the closet, and then there were a lot of plays about living with HIV/AIDS. Are we in a new era now that there's marriage equality and that AIDS has largely become a manageable illness?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of what the play is pretty directly exploring. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little proud that coming out is never even mentioned in this play. You know, these people have sort of they come more from the generation of 14-year-olds coming out in junior high. But they still have a really direct obstacle to tackle in the form of violence, because it's still obviously happening.
And the story includes a shocking incident of gay bashing in which one of the characters is seriously injured. A lot of New Yorkers see the city as a place where everyone can live in peace and where that kind of violence has largely disappeared. But that's not entirely true.
Unfortunately not. The play is inspired by one particular incident of real-life violence that happened in Williamsburg in 2011. But hate crimes happen throughout the country and city, continue to, and of course, post-election. I believe the count is about 900 acts of hate speech and violence across the country.
Since the election.
But not in New York. We've had some swastikas, but not much else.
No, there have been some gay bashings. I've heard firsthand of a few. Mm-hmm. And de Blasio's started a special
task force.
In addition to the swastikas, yes, and I read that people are handing out KKK pamphlets on the Long Island Railroad, and I mean it's kind of all over the place. And we're collecting for Broadway Cares right now. Tis the season to collect for Broadway Cares, and we're actually highlighting in our Broadway Cares speech an organization that Broadway Cares gives to called the Anti-Violence Project, which is geared towards hate crimes, since our play is obviously about that.
And there are two other characters in the play, a gay friend who comes between the two at one point, and a woman sales clerk in a bath products shop. We can't go into details as to what roles they serve here, but did you have in mind these wonderful actors for these roles from the start?
That's a great question. Michael has been workshopping the play in readings and workshops with me for about 3 years now, which is crazy. People kept saying, you've got to have Michael Urie read this. So I passed it to a friend who's a mutual friend who passed it on, which was really sweet. And Robin actually came to us through an audition. It's a really, really difficult role that Robin plays, and we didn't really know who we would fill it with.
I did.
He walked into the room, and we were pretty much blown away.
You've said it between 2006 and 2011, you go back and forth in time. Why that specific time frame?
Sure. Well, I think the remove, the 5-year remove actually helps us. It helped me process it, and it also helped me develop the play. I've actually have been developing the play for 5 years pretty actively. But I do think that the 5-year kind of span from when the play ends helps the audience feel remove that it doesn't provide a safety per se, but I think it provides a reflective space that is actually pretty helpful.
It ends with the passage of the Marriage Equality Act in New York State.
It does.
But before the Supreme Court decided that it applies to the whole country.
Indeed.
And so the world keeps on changing. But from what you were saying earlier about hate crimes, there's a feeling that we're still going back and forth in
I refer to it as being so far behind in the race that you think you're ahead. Because that's kind of what it feels like. We so, like as New Yorkers, we feel like we're so open-minded and liberal and socially aware and stuff. And we're so socially aware that we're unaware that there are still people going through it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Homos or Everyone in America is playing at the Bank Street Theater at 155 Bank Street. That's within the Westbeth Complex until December 11th. Any chance of another extension?
Fingers crossed. We're talking to some people.
Well, you could also take it to other places.
We are. We want to take it to other cities. We feel like it would be appreciated outside of New York.
And my great thanks to Jordan Seavey, the playwright, and two of its stars, Michael Urie and Robin DeJesus. It's been a real pleasure having you on our show.
Thank you so much for having us.